Good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is Tuesday. This is the first Tuesday show live we've done in a while, but it is March 14th. It is Pi Day of all things. We'll get into that here momentarily. But the reason we're doing a live Tuesday show this week, we're going to take off Thursday because it's March Madness and all the games are going to be going on. So figure give you guys figure most people will be watching that. So no show Thursday, but today we're going to talk. We're going to kind of preview all that kind of stuff coming up. So
how many digits of pi can you do, by the way?
Three, 3.14. That's all you need to know. All the rest is real small, but but in a minute I'll be able to get into a lot of them.
Okay.
So, okay. How many can you do?
3.14.
Okay. I'm with you. That's all that matters. And I don't know which local pizza joints, but a lot of times they'll have specials today. Like, like a small pizza for like $3.14 or something like that. So check out there. Maybe you get a good deal on a pie, even though that's a pet peeve of mine too. It's a pizza. It's not a pizza pie. I know Jeremy or other people might disagree with me, but it's pizza. It's not pizza pie. So
why are you opposed to the pizza
pie? I don't know. It's like, you know how little sayings kind of irk you sometimes?
Okay.
Like, I don't know. It's just maybe a psychological disorder that I have.
This sounds like word trauma.
Like a pie is like fruit, like apple, cherry.
What about a pot
pumpkin?
Pie? Pot pie?
Yeah, pot pie is okay.
It's not a fruit.
Yeah, that's true.
It's beef.
Yeah, but it's cooked in the oven. You know, I guess pizzas. All right, moving on.
Popped a hole in your logic.
You did. Yeah, all right. So on today's show, we're going to talk about sports as we always do. We're also going to talk about Pi Day. We will also talk about another hatred of mine is the time changes. I cannot stand them. We're going to talk about that. We are now in daylight savings time. Standard time has gone bye-bye, and hopefully it never comes back ever again. We will talk about that momentarily. So let's get into the Pi Day stuff. So here is
I see what you did.
See what there. I did here? So can you name a three from any Cleveland Browns team? And I'm letting you cheat by maybe looking at a couple pictures up there. There are a couple quarterbacks, one of your favorites.
Not Brandon Whedon, right?
Brandon Whedon's a three.
Is he a three?
Otto Graham was a 14. Okay. So there you got 3.14 there. Okay. Derek Anderson, another solid Browns quarterback. Derek Anderson was by Browns standards, he was great. He was a very good quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Should have got him in the playoffs in 2007, but I think they missed it by 10-6, something like that. But anyway, so here's the numbers. 3.14159265358979 32. Everybody knows 32 in the Browns, Jim Brown.
The most famous Brown.
38. Who's the most famous number four Cleveland Brown? It's currently worn by Deshaun Watson.
Right.
But who would be the most famous Cleveland Brown of the new era to wear number four? Kicker.
Will you give me 3 points? Yes, Mr. Mm-hmm. Phil Dawson.
Phil Dawson. Number six, Baker Mayfield. 2, Tim Couch. 6, 43. 3 is now Cade York again. 8, 3. 27.95, and we all know number 95 to round it out there. So that's just a fun little Browns Pi Day thing. So there's the numbers once again. Post that out on social media. That is courtesy of our friend Reflog18 on Twitter, Chris McNeil, who does a great job. By the way, also has the Bernie Kosar show on his network. Bernie.
It's 92 Courtney Brown. I was trying to think of
92 that. Was Courtney Brown.
Okay. But that wasn't Courtney Brown.
You know what? I don't know. That looks like Michael Dean Perry.
Oh, all right.
By my eyes, I could be wrong. I can't remember if that was his number or not, but I believe that was Michael Dean Perry. So.
Okay.
All right. Now, before we get back into sports, let's go. And this was a previous subject I did, I think, 2 years ago at about this time. But how the hell is this, if my transition works, how the hell is this still a thing? Daylight savings time versus standard time. States like Arizona, who have wised up, don't even participate in standard time anymore. They are currently always on daylight savings time. So you fall back, you spring forward, you do all that. I can't stand it. If anyone out there has kids, they know when young kids have bedtimes and transitions and like going to work. Now for adults, if you're, you know, if you're a college kid or whatever, you know, it might suck. You lose an hour of sleep, but for like the working adult that maybe has kids, this is a huge pain in the ass. So it also affects everyone in the winter time because sunlight, vitamin D, you wake up, it's dark. You get home from work, it's dark. It sucks. So Joe, what are your thoughts on standard time? Now, standard time is what we were on. We are currently on daylight savings time. What say you about both of those?
All right. So I have bitter hatred for this whole time change thing.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the most reasonable objection I would have is that suicides go up during this time.
Yeah.
Deaths go up during this time. So we're creating undue stress for absolutely no gain whatsoever.
That's true.
No reason for it. And people are dying because of it.
Well, and you took it to an even deeper level. I was just thinking like, you know, you see the sun, it makes you happy. But that all goes into it. Health, mental health. And I believe it's like something called like the sunshine law or something they're trying to enact. So, we don't talk politics on this show, but we do mention politics sometimes. This is a bipartisan, you know, no one really, you know, both parties are for this, but it was passed through Congress, or I'm sorry, it was passed through the Senate. It was introduced by, I believe it was Marco Rubio in Florida, who gets more sunlight than the state of Florida. It's literally the sunshine state. But they put it through and, you know, so the Senate put it through Congress. It didn't get through Congress, apparently. And I don't know why, but apparently it's been re-legislated. So hopefully this is the last time this happens. I don't know the current standing of the bill, but we need to get rid of standard time. Always stay on daylight savings time. So what would your message be to Congress or the Senate or just anyone that has a vote on this situation?
So when I take an accounting for my life, I try to think about things that if they are there versus me removing it, I weigh what they would do for me versus what they cost me.
Yeah.
If you didn't adhere to it, if you just went straight through and said, screw it, I'm not doing this time, what would you be out? What would change?
Nothing. Nothing. Yeah.
Zero things.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I mean, honestly, if I changed it as a policy here and just changed the start time for everybody and said, you know what, we're not acknowledging it this time. And if I get enough people to join me, screw it. We'll just revolt on the whole time.
That's true. Yeah. It literally, like Joe said, it literally costs you nothing. And I think if it's one of those things, it's just like, it's common sense legislature. Just put it through. Like the whole country, I don't want to say the whole country, but the majority of the country is for this, and as are most congressional people, most senators, it's like, why can't we just get this done? So,
okay, so question for you. So let's just say your phone's updated it, and all your clocks changed automatically, and nobody told you this was coming. Would you notice?
It's a good question. I don't know. Probably not.
I mean, unless you're working in the middle of a shift, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Like, I think I would notice next winter when it's lighter at 5:30 and 6 instead of like being dark at 4:30 and 5. Like, to me, that is a miserable time of year. Like, especially like after Christmas and like the holidays, like you had mentioned, like holidays are a stressful time for a lot of people. Yeah, we all love the holidays and stuff like that, but not everyone does. Not everyone's got like a really close-knit, tight family or group of friends or whatever to have a support network. And if a little bit more sunlight in those people's life gives them the motivation to be healthier and happier, why not? You know, absolutely. Like you said, it hurts nothing. So
yeah.
So put it through. Come on. Right.
Next year or in the fall, even do you want to do a revolt? You
yeah. And I? Yeah. If this isn't done, we will get a revolt going completely. Yeah.
So if I have a 10 o'clock with somebody, I'm showing up at 9. Screw you.
We are not falling back. We are staying sprung forward.
Forever now.
Right? Yes.
And yeah. You know what? If the sun gets out of sequence, screw the sun. Mm-hmm. We'll nuke the freaking sun.
Exactly. I don't need that sun. Oh, by the way, I want to say this too before we move on. Your TED Talk was really good the other day.
Thank you.
And so learned a lot from that. And the reason I brought this up was the man that went before you, I forget his name, but he was talking about solar power. And I dropped a comment underneath, and I don't know if anyone got it, but I said, solar power is the wave of the future, but it doesn't happen overnight.
Nice.
I was hoping somebody picked up on that.
I read that and I was like, oh, that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
I didn't catch it.
It was a dad joke. So we always try to mix in a dad joke here and there. So there we go.
That was good,
Justin. Yeah, a little belated, but you know, whatever. So
if you have to explain the joke, it's a sucky joke.
Yeah, but I did the ellipses and everything, so
you have to put the smiley icon, right,
or the winky or the wink face or something.
Then I would have got it.
Yeah. So okay. All right, back to sports. A local team. I have a good friend that coaches on this team, Mount Union. Dave Spires is an assistant coach there. Coach Fuelline. His team has done a fantastic job. Mount Union will take on Wisconsin Whitewater in the Division III Final Four of college basketball. This is pretty great. I got to go see a game earlier this year. It was actually their conference championship win over Marietta. The team plays really, really good basketball. They play up-tempo, get in your face. This Final Four will take place in Fort Wayne, Indiana, this coming weekend. Now, the games will start. Mount Union will tip right around 8 o'clock. The game before that is, I believe it's Swarthmore and Christopher Newport from Newport's Beach, Virginia. So Swarthmore, I believe, is in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin Whitewater, obviously in Wisconsin, and Mount Union representing the 330 from Ohio.
How does Mount Union always assemble some great athletics programs?
I think Northeast Ohio is a really strong base of first of all, a lot of people love sports around here, but we are hard workers and we have an athletic history there. So, you know, usually that breeds each other, you know? So I think we just have a really athletic base, maybe not on the highest end level. You know, we'll produce guys like Maurice Claret and Mario Manningham and Bernie Kosar and athletes like that. But we have a lot of really good athletes that might not necessarily be to that Ohio State level or whatever, but what you put them in the right situation and they can thrive. And I think Coach Fuelline, Spires, the rest of their crew there has really done a nice job of assembling talent. And like you said, Mount Union football is always good every year. Mount Union basketball, at least I know for the last 4 or 5 years, has been excellent. But this is the furthest they've made it in the tournament.
I think whoever the recruiter is, it should be a known name. Like, mm-hmm. You should know why that's happening.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm sure Mount Union doesn't want to lose any of those guys, but those guys could be plucked into possibly a higher position down the road.
They know what they're doing.
So good luck to the Purple Raiders. They take on Wisconsin Whitewater, I believe it was, this coming weekend. So good luck to them in the Final Four. Right here in Youngstown, Ohio as well, we got more basketball to play. So Youngstown State will play, if I can get this to come up, the Cowboys of Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, this is weird to me. I don't understand why this is. Oklahoma State is the number one seed in the NIT, which is the National Invitation Tournament. So this means this is kind of like the best of the rest, that did not make the NCAA tournament. So Youngstown State will host at the Beegley Center tomorrow night, Wednesday, March 15th at 7 o'clock, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has been a very, very good basketball team and program. They were one of the last four teams out of the NCAA tournament that did not make it. I don't know if there was a scheduling conflict, but good thing for YSU because they get an extra home game, and Youngstown State will host the Oklahoma State Cowboys this coming weekend from the Big 12 Conference. So this is a Power 5 school coming in here to Youngstown, and a very comparable opponent to who they may have played in the tournament if they would have made it. So
I'm telling you, though, that if they don't get behind in the first half, like,
yeah,
they caught up so much ground in the beginning of that third quarter or the first part of the second half,
yeah,
that, you know, you think like, what if they wouldn't have,
mm-hmm,
you know, they, it would have been a really close, it was a close game, but it might've been gone different.
And you know what? I have not done my research on Oklahoma State and their style of play, but we all know the Penguins are going to play an up-tempo fast style of play. So we'll see what Oklahoma State brings to the table. But like you said, if YSU can get out to a fast start, they got a chance in this game, heck, so we'll, yeah, see. So it, sure, should be a lot of fun. And you got two Pete mascots going against each other. Pistol Pete, the cowboy mascot, and obviously Pete the Penguin of YSU. Here's a look. This is going to be small on your screen, but YSU is going to host Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is 18-15 on the season, but plays a Big 12. Power 5 conference. The winner of that game will take on Washington State and Eastern Washington. And there's a look at the bracket. Again, that's going to be hard to see on your TV, but I will post that to our social media pages so you can see that. But good luck to YSU. Coach Calhoun, the Penguins, they get another game. I know tickets are nearly sold out, if not all sold out. So a really solid, awesome year for YSU basketball. You know, I know this is at least the third high profile game that they've played in, at, Beegley. So I think this is just really, really, really cool. So, good luck to the Penguins, and, hopefully they can knock off, the Cowboys. All right, let's go shift our focus now to the NCAA tournament, which will, well, technically the first four, start tonight in Dayton. So, tonight and tomorrow night, there'll be the play-in games for the final four teams to get in the NCAA tournament. But the top four seeds in each region this year, so Alabama, Arizona, Baylor, and Virginia. Now, Joe, I know you're not a huge college basketball guy, but let's go through these four. Now, if you had to pick one of these four teams, Alabama, Arizona, Baylor, or Virginia. Now, you got Baylor, who's won a national championship in there, Virginia, who's won a national championship. Arizona's been a perennial good school, and Alabama is more of a recent addition to an elite basketball program. So if you had to pick one of those four teams, which one are you going with?
I'm going with Virginia.
Okay. Okay. Virginia. Virginia in that one. Tony Bennett is the head coach. It should be, they play a really tough defensive style of play. All right, let's go to the next region. The next region, and I'll go through all the different regions with you and share my picks out in a little bit. But Purdue, Marquette, Kansas State, and Tennessee. So you got Purdue from the Big Ten as a number one seed, Marquette, the number two seed, coached by Shaka Smart, K-State from the Big 12, the three seed, and Tennessee from the SEC as a four seed. So Joe, out of those four, you, which team do you like out of those four?
Purdue.
Go with Purdue. And Purdue's got Zach Edey, who's an absolute freak, 7'4" monster, 300 pound plus pounder in the paint there. That's a good pick there. The next region, we got Houston, Texas, so two Texas teams there. Xavier, obviously from the Cincinnati area, and Indiana from the Big Ten as the number four seed there. So which one of those do you like coming out of that region?
Indiana.
Joe's in the Big Ten there. Very nice.
Represent.
And you got to represent, absolutely. And then in the Big 12, we got Kansas State. And then you got a couple West Coast schools out there. You got UCLA, Gonzaga, and UConn. So out of those four, Joe, and you got the defending champions, Kansas in that region. Who do you like there?
I'm going to go with Gonzaga.
You're a Gonzaga softy. Yes,
they are the first underdog NCAA team that went really far into the playoffs.
Sure.
And I became a fan of the Gonzaga.
Gonzaga has become one of those teams that were always an underdog. Now they're always a top seed. However, they've never gotten over that hurdle of winning a title. So they're kind of almost back in that underdog role, right? Just because they can get far, but they can't quite get over that hump. So I like that.
And this year.
So we'll see. I mean, I actually like UCLA in that region. I don't know why, but we got UCLA in that region. So we'll see. This was an interesting tidbit. North Carolina will not be in the NCAA tournament this year. They are the first preseason number one team to miss the tournament since the field expanded to 64 teams in 1985. So interesting nugget there. And they elected to not play in the NIT. So that's their choice. And that's what they went with. So I'm going to go region by region and just really quickly. And again, I'll put this on our social media pages, but everyone out there has got a bracket to print off. And, you know, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but in this region, in the South region, I like it to be an Arizona, Alabama, no big shock there. Regional final. And I actually like Arizona to beat Alabama in this region. So Virginia, I think Alabama and Virginia will match up in the Sweet 16. So we'll see what we get there.
All right, as your Gamblers Anonymous sponsor,
yeah,
have you gambled yet on any of the March Madness?
I will. I'll be very selective with my choices. I actually had a bad gambling night last night. I've been doing very well, very, very well. But last night was a poor night for me.
Well,
so
for all of our viewers, usually Justin drives a Bronco. There was a Pinto that showed up here today, so it must have been a bad day.
Somebody showed up at my house and asked for the keys. Yep. You know, because you know you gotta make that payment somehow. So that Pinto, Pinto does not do well in the snow.
You've got all your fingers, so you're making good choices.
And my
now.
Kneecaps. So for sure. yeah. So we will. We'll see. Hopefully I retain all my bodily, my extremities going forward. All right. So let's go. We did the South. Let's go to the East. So this one, Purdue is the one seed. You have Marquette at the bottom of the bracket. This is where I'm going to throw a little curveball. I actually like Duke to come out of this region. Duke is the 5 seed this year. So I like Duke to knock off Tennessee and to knock off Purdue. I actually think Memphis, the number 8 seed, could knock off Purdue in the second round. I think that's going to be my big upset pick for the first weekend. I think Memphis knocks off Purdue to get to the Sweet 16. So that's kind of my big upset in round. That would be in round 2. So we'll see what happens there. In the Midwest, you got Houston, the 1 seed, Texas at the bottom of the bracket, the 2 seed. You got Xavier and Indiana. This is a strange bracket to me. I think this one is the strangest of them all, but I actually like Texas to come out of the Midwest region. So I'm going to go with Texas to knock off Houston in the regional final and get a 2 seed in there. In the West, you got Kansas, the former national champion last year. You got UCLA, the 2 seed. What else did we have here? The 3. Why can't I find the 3? Oh, there we go. Gonzaga, Joe's favorite.
Yep.
And then we have UConn. UConn is a surprising pick. I actually think Iona could upset UConn in the first round. That would be another big upset. But I like UCLA to come out of this region. So I like UCLA in the West. I like Texas in the Midwest. I like Duke in the East. And I like Arizona in the South. So those are my final 4 picks. I want to put this out there as a challenge to our viewers, Youngstown Studio audience, 330 Sports audience, MLO bros. I think we have about 20 people signed up already, so not a ton, but I'd like to get this about like near 100 if we could, brackets in. So we're going to do March Madness for a good cause. Now, again, obviously totally optional, but if this is something this would be interested in, brackets would be due 11:30 on Thursday. It would be a $10 entry fee. But here's the cool thing. We're going to give 50% of the winnings to a charity of the winner's choice. So the winner is actually going to get 80% of the money, but 50% of that will go to charity. 30% of the pot will go to the winner, 15% to second place. And if you're one of those people that likes to pick just based on mascots or whatever, we're going to go 5% to last place just to have fun with it. So maybe you pick all upsets and none of them hit. And there you go. Maybe you get your money back or something with that 5% of the last place money. So I thought that would be.
Now, if Gonzaga wins, can I get a bottle of Blanton's?
We'll talk. We'll talk. I mean, they're a top four seed, so that's not that big of an. We'll talk. Instead of that, I would say just throw $50 on Gonzaga to win, and then I'm betting Gonzaga is probably like plus 1,000 at least. To win, so
I'll buy my own Blanton's.
If Gonzaga wins, I'll buy you a bottle of Blanton's. We have a deal here. We'll shake on it. All right,
yes,
bottle of Blanton's on it. Favorite. All right, Joe, we have it's not only March Madness, but we have officially reached. If I can switch this, button's a little finicky today,
is it?
We have officially reached second winner. So, these are the real seasons. Our friends, Eric Wilhelm, Andrew DiPaolo, everyone over at WFMJ. Put this out, and I thought this was funny. So we are in the second winter, right before pollen season, and then real spring comes, and then all the different seasons that we get around here in Youngstown. So we kind of are paying for a very nice, modest February by getting snow now in March, and it's the hand we're dealt here. Mm. We love Northeast Ohio, but. It throws you a curveball every now and then, especially
Florida,
when you wake
we've
up.
We've got no bugs, so screw you.
Yeah, that, amen. We're killing those bugs that came out early for spring. Now, those bugs are gone. So let's go around the world of sports a little bit. So around the world of sports, huge trade in the NFL. The Bears, who had the number one pick in the draft, trade that number one pick in the draft to the Carolina Panthers. I'm also going to give you a betting tip right now. Now, you don't have to take my word for it, but the Carolina Panthers traded to get CJ Stroud. They will take CJ Stroud with the number one pick. I'm guessing you can still get plus money on CJ Stroud being the first pick. So you might get 2-1, 3-1 odds. CJ Stroud will be the number one pick in the NFL draft this year. I will. It's not available on my betting app, on the bet app I use, but I believe it on DraftKings and other ones. I believe it is on there. So as soon as it pops up on mine, if I get plus money, I'm taking it. So book it, CJ Stroud to the Carolina Panthers. The Ohio State quarterback will go number one, in my opinion. And this is before his pro day, but I believe Carolina traded that pick to get him. So we're going to have quarterbacks go number one and number two in the draft. Carolina's going to take a quarterback. Houston will take a quarterback. And then we'll see what happens at number three. But listen to what the Bears got.
Wow.
The number 9 pick in the draft. The number 61 pick in the draft, which is a second rounder. They got a first round pick next year, which will probably be a high pick because Carolina is taking a quarterback number one. So they're probably going to struggle a little bit. They get the second round pick in 2025, and they get the Carolina Panthers number one receiver, DJ Moore, who is probably, I would put him in the top 15 in the wide receiver category in the NFL. That is a haul for the Chicago Bears. So they must believe in Justin Fields. So this is basically the two Ohio State quarterback franchises now with the Chicago Bears. And in my opinion, I believe CJ Stroud will go to the Carolina Panthers. So very interesting stuff there. I think that is good. And now, because the Bears really did not give Stroud did not give Justin Fields a whole lot of weapons. Now he's got Claypool that they picked up from the Steelers. they have DJ Moore. They have Mooney, who is a decent receiver for them, who will now be their number three. They have the number nine pick in the draft still, which they can get a good offensive lineman or maybe a solid defensive player. And then you could pick up another wide receiver or something at 61. So the Bears are all of a sudden looking pretty good, you know, in a kind of a weak division there in the NFC South.
Do you think
or
these
North.
Trades are getting crazy?
They're getting pretty crazy. Like, but I think in the NFL, the bottom line is you can't win unless you have that quarterback. And the Browns proved that last year. A lot of teams, I mean, here's another thing. Again, going back to Deshaun Watson, I know a lot of people think he makes a crazy amount of money, and he does. Russell Wilson does. All these quarterbacks do. But Daniel Jones, who the New York Giants didn't even want after last year, is now making $40 million a year that they paid him because they're like, well, we don't have a better option. So the NFL is a quarterback-driven league, and if you don't have one, you want one, and you got to pay sometimes to get one, whether that's draft capital or just financial. And we're going to see a lot of these quarterback dominoes falling. Derek Carr is now the New Orleans Saints quarterback from the Raiders. Jimmy Garoppolo now goes to the Raiders. We'll see what the 49ers do. It appears our boy Aaron Rodgers might go to the New York Jets, which means what are the Packers going to do? A lot of moving parts in the NFL, and we're probably going to see quarterbacks go number one and number two. So a lot of movement in the NFL, which is great. And the NFL always entertains, even when they're not playing football. So should be very, very interesting. Here's a look at the updated draft order. So you got Carolina, Houston, Arizona at three should be interesting. And number four, Indianapolis. They want a quarterback bad too. So we'll see what all happens there. But should be a very, very interesting draft. I'll put together a mock draft, in my opinion, in a couple weeks before the draft. But we'll talk too. Maybe we'll put together another draft show or whatever this year. We've done that the last 2 years, and those have been pretty good.
You got a lock on the Browns pick front on first round?
I'm going to say, I actually think the Browns could trade into the first round. Yeah. Now they have the 42nd pick, but I think the Browns, I would bet even money. I would actually say better than likely that the Browns will trade either up or back, and they will not stay at 42. I don't know what they're going to do, but I think it's very unlikely that they'll just stand pat. So I could see them trading that second round pick, maybe for a wide receiver. Maybe they, you know, trade some other things to move up and get in that first round, maybe get a guy like Jaxon Smith-Njigba or another receiver late, you know.
Now, if they
in the
make
first.
Any more additions like you saw earlier today, do you think that they stay where they're at because they added like maybe a couple linebackers and a, you know,
sure.
defensive end like
it? Yeah, I think everything is always fluid with them. I know we always call them smart people and the results aren't quite there yet, but I think there's a plan, and I think that plan can change, you know, and be very, very fluid. So I don't know, but speaking of those Browns movement, let's take a look at those. So the Browns moves, and good luck pronouncing the first name. Ogbonya. Can you pronounce that last name?
Nope.
we'll just call him 00. Double O, they pick him up as a defensive end from the Texans, but
as our Clowney reassignment.
Basically, yes. And he's a much younger version of Jadeveon Clowney. Hasn't started a whole lot. I believe he started his career with the Rams and then went to the Texans. But last year was like the third or fourth highest rated defensive end on like quarterback pressure. So he's a younger guy that's going to get after the quarterback and be able to cause some havoc on that line, which is great. Then the huge move was Dalvin Tomlinson, who defensive tackles, you don't, unless they're named Aaron Donald, you usually don't make a huge name, but they make a huge impact on the game. The Browns signed Dalvin Tomlinson, a defensive tackle from the Vikings. Pick him up. And I think that is going to be a huge, huge move. And I don't think they're done on that defensive tackle or defensive end line. So we'll see there. They re-signed their center, Ethan Posick. They re-signed Sione Takitaki, linebacker, which is coming off an ACL tear midway through the season. But I think he is going to be a great addition to keep on the Browns. And they re-signed the cornerback, A.J. Green, who will probably be their fourth corner this year with Denzel Ward, Greg Newsome, Martin Emerson, and then A.J. Green. So they have a really good secondary. I think they need to address that safety spot still. But I think the Browns are going to make a big splash still at the wide receiver position. You obviously have Amari Cooper, and you got Donovan Peoples-Jones. You picked up David Bell last year in the draft. I think they're going to get a fast wide receiver, whether that is in trade or through the draft. I don't know, but I think they're going to make a splash somehow. And my big prediction is they do make a trade and they get a big name wide receiver. So that's my prediction.
Disappointment has been Johnson. I really hate to see him go.
And he actually, I believe he signed with the Chargers. So, you know, I know a lot of people on John Johnson III were very wishy-washy. He's a nice talent, but didn't necessarily produce on the field. But yeah, he will be playing with the Chargers next year. So, we'll see. And I know he was one of those you love him or hate him kind of guys, yeah. But I think he was a good guy. Just didn't produce the way, you know, you'd hope for the rate of pay.
Anthony Schwartz, of course.
No one can live up to the billing of Anthony Schwartz. Around the sports world, we go. Jim Boeheim, the Syracuse Orange, did not make the tournament this year, but he is going to retire after 47 seasons. Second in wins, only behind Coach K, 1,015 wins. One national championship in 2003, that was with Carmelo Anthony. 2005 inductee into the Basketball Hall of Fame. 5 Final Four appearances. I believe he's coached like something like 20-some NBA first-round draft picks. So he is a really, really great coach that made a living off of that 2-3 zone at Syracuse. So good luck to him and enjoy retirement. I know he is a Syracuse guy for life, but he's one of those guys that's like, you know what? I'm ready to hang it up. I'm ready to be done. Enjoy life. And so at some point it's like, you just got to be done. I know some people are lifers, but at some point it's like, you don't want to be coaching until you're in the grave either. So, you know, so good luck to Coach Boeheim.
Can I ask you one more Browns question?
Yeah, please.
So having our scouts, mm-hmm. Watch OBJ.
Yes. Did not even get to OBJ.
What do you think?
I think it's where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. I do not think they will officially sign him. There we go. Things a little finicky. But I don't know if they have the money to sign him because they've already worked Watson's contract. They could probably tinker a little bit with maybe Amari Cooper or some other like high salary player. But we'll see. I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. So I am not saying it won't happen, but I'm going to probably put a 12% chance on it. So,
but at least wide receiver, slot one receiver is a priority.
That's kind of the receiver they're looking for. A fast, twitchy guy that can stretch the field. That's kind of what they're looking for. Can play inside and outside. So I won't say, and I wouldn't be opposed to it. I know things ended really kind of poorly with the dad posting the video, but that was kind of a Baker and Odell issue, like a chemistry thing. So you come in, a lot of guys want to play with Deshaun Watson. A lot of receivers want to play with a guy that, you know, can move around in the pocket, get you open, and your stats go up as a wide receiver. So if you sign a one-year deal, you're back in free agency next year. You might be able to get big bucks. So I think Odell's 30 years old, which in receiver terms is kind of probably like, I don't know. I'd say most receivers don't really have a good shelf life past like 33, but if you can get 2-3 more good years, why not? So,
You think we can afford him? Like, if you restructured Deshaun's contract,
they did restructure his contract, but I think they've spent a lot of that money on the defensive end and defensive tackle. But
that was a good play, though. I think
that's so much so well needed. But we're going to get that wide receiver. I don't know who it's going to be or how it's going to happen, but we're going to get that wide receiver, whether it's Odell or a DeAndre Hopkins. There's some big names out there to be had, and we'll see what happens with the Browns. So I don't know. Do you have, what would you put your percentage on Odell?
You know, I think he's a disruptor, but I think he would be so money with Watson. Mm-hmm. I really do.
And by all accounts, his teammates love him. Unless you're named Baker Mayfield. but by all accounts, his teammates love him. He's a great locker room guy, apparently, unless you're a quarterback that he doesn't agree with, like Baker Mayfield. But those two have both contentious personalities, right, where if you're like, you know, oil and water, you don't mix. And so we'll see.
But honestly, if it's between OBJ and we have Josh Gordon, I'm going with OBJ.
Yeah, Josh Gordon is lighting it up in the XFL. We'll let him keep doing that. He might be lighting up other things too.
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
see what I did there? Yeah, all right. Scotty Scheffler, around the world of sports, players champion down in Jacksonville. Congratulations to him. I know my buddy Greg and I were texting, and he's like, if Scotty Scheffler missed this 21-foot putt on 18, I win like X amount of money. And he, as he's saving it, drains the putt. So I'm like, that is the world of betting and sports.
Can you hit a 20-footer?
Oh, I could regularly. No, I can hit a 50-footer if you give me enough putts.
Okay,
but you know,
you can do it in five at least.
Last year, I will say at a golf outing, I had the longest putt, which was probably about 35, 40 feet.
Oh, nice.
So I can hit a long putt. It just might. You know, usually it's not going to be on the first attempt. So
we'll see. Right.
Putting is very, very difficult. By the way, we're going to have at least one golfer on the show soon, if not multiple. But we're going to, as the weather warms up, as we look outside at this beautiful weather, we're going to have some golfers on the show to kind of go over some tips and some other things going forward. But Joe, I want to point this out. Did you see these Great Britain uniforms? That is the actual uniforms Great Britain put together for their team. And I took this right from Twitter. The flag is cool, but someone put, they opened a Word document and typed Great Britain using Arial Black and slapped it on a jersey. And that's literally what it looks like. So
I'm really hungry for Tane right now. I want to eat some Tane.
That is just really, really not poor execution by the designer.
Put in Comic Sans and just drive everybody crazy.
Exactly. I mean, do something funky. Anything but that. All right. I'm going to close it out with some Cavs stuff here going forward. So the Cavs currently, and I put their records on here the last five seasons. 2018-19 was the first year after LeBron, 19-63. The year after, kind of a COVID-shortened season, 19-46. The year after, 22-50. Last year, 44-38. And this year, right now, with 12 games to go, 43-27.
That's impressive.
Every year they've gotten better, which is awesome, because I'm including 2019-20 in that, because they played less games and had the same amount of wins. But the Cavs are, you know, one more win, a win tonight would equal their wins from last season. And obviously with 12 games to go, they're gonna break that. They're really trying to hold on to the number four seed right now, which they have a three-game lead on that four seed. They will actually play the Philadelphia 76ers tomorrow night. So if they win that game, there's still a chance to get in the third seed. But I think the Cavs are pretty well locked in at that four seed right now, especially if they get that win tonight. Just mathematically, there's not going to be enough games left for teams like the Nets or the Knicks or the Heat to catch them. Definitely not the Heat. But the Nets or the Knicks are going to have a hard time catching the Cavs. So the Cavs should have home court advantage in the first round. Currently, right now, as it stands, they are the number 10 offensive rated team in the NBA, the number 2 defensive rated team in the NBA, but they are number 1 in net rating, which means average margin of victory per game at 5.5 points a game, just ahead of the Boston Celtics. Their team leaders, 27.6 points for Donovan Mitchell, 9.8 rebounds for Jared Allen. And both of those players will not play tonight, but they should still be okay playing the Charlotte Hornets. Darius Garland, 7.9 assists tonight. Now, this is a really cool fact. Donovan Mitchell has joined LeBron James as the only other Cavalier to register 9 40-point games in a season for Cleveland. That is pretty remarkable. 9 games. He scored 40 or more points. That's pretty awesome. So we will close it out there. I just want to say thank you guys for watching. Appreciate you all. Make sure to follow us on social media. Share the show with anyone that you think might be interested. Make sure to follow Youngstown Studio as well for tons of great content. You got Fast Freddy. You got I saw Justine Thomas is back down here. You got some other shows going on. And check out Joe's show on, is that the CW it's on? Yes. Behind the Scenes with Joe. Anything in production right now that you're looking at?
This week we're going to do Bright Technologies, which is solar and batteries.
Okay.
Some of my wheelhouse.
Okay. All right. Very cool. So a lot of good things going on down here at Youngstown Studio. So make sure to follow us on social. We appreciate you guys watching. Everyone have a great day. Remember, no show Thursday. Enjoy March Madness. But I'm going to put plenty of content out there on social media. So we will talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would